Hey there, this is Seth Wires from Channel 9, coming to you from the beautiful city of Antwerp in Belgium for Techorama 2017. I have with me a special guest, Jessica Ellis. How are you doing?
Good.
So you had some awesome talks, and you had like a couple of them, but you're all done, so...
I'm very relieved now.
So tell us a little bit about what you talk about.
I did two talks. Mm-hmm. One was an IoT talk where I went over devices, mm-hmm. and the other was a talk on how to inspire kids to want to learn how to code.
So tell me about the first talk, and then we'll get to the second one.
Okay.
Because IoT is like, I had an IoT talk, and things went horribly wrong. And
really?
Right, yeah. So tell me about your talks. What were you talking about?
Mine went perfect in every way.
Of course it did.
Nothing went wrong at all. Yeah. No, I actually went over a bunch of devices. I had done an IoT talk before where I had kind of, I guess, started halfway through. And so this one was more going back and just going over the more popular devices. My absolute favorite device is actually an electric imp, which isn't well known.
What is it?
An electric imp?
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
It's a device. It's a company out of Palo Alto. And it's the thing that's great about it is there's no install. So you hook it up to a Wi-Fi with your phone. And then you just use an online ID and you're... Go.
And what does it do? Is it like do lights? Is it can you hook stuff up to it? Like what
would
I make
anything.
With an electric?
You get anything you want to hook up to a sensor, any lights, any you could robotics, anything.
Interesting. And what did you make with it?
Well, I did the Hello World with everything.
Okay.
And then I did the moisture sensor. So we have I work at an urban farm.
Okay.
And so we have moisture sensors that are in the urban farm and they're all running on electric imps.
Got it.
And when plants need water, it tweets us that they need water.
And so you show up and like, oh, the plants are asking for water.
It says things like the kale's complaining that it's thirsty.
Of course, of course.
And then you water it and it says the kale says thank you.
Is that nice?
Yeah.
So is that something you show during your talk?
I did.
Okay. And so how hard would it be to get, is it, because usually when I have sensors, because I'm used to like Raspberry Pis, you got to like hook those in. Are they on board already?
Okay, so now I will tell you how that went all awry.
Okay.
Because I brought the moisture sensor to demo it, but my solder came undone on the flight over. It wasn't as soldered as I thought it was. So I didn't actually live demo that, but I had pre-recorded it.
Oh, fantastic.
So I faked it.
So it's a sensor that you solder together and you wire into the actual...
Yeah, so it's a moisture sensor. It has a lot of leads.
Yeah.
And the leads go into a breadboard.
Got it.
And the breadboard hooks into the electric imp.
Fantastic. And when you are riding on the electric imp, what kind of code is it? Is it C? Is it
Squirrel.
Now let me see. What language is that?
Language is Squirrel.
What does it look like? Is it like C-based?
It looks like JavaScript.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is it, did they invent the language?
No. It was invented, but they commandeered the language.
I see.
But it's easy. And it's not a difficult language, and there's a lot of sample code.
Okay.
They have a lot of sample code. So I haven't written very much of it, because I just
for the,
steal it use it.
I mean, we all are Stack Overflow programmers, I think, at one time or another. So the electric, what other devices do you like to use?
I like the Arduino for the first device. And I like Raspberry Pi. I personally have a love-hate relationship with the Intel Edison.
Okay.
Because I can't ever really just get it set up and it just does what it's supposed to do. I think that might be a limitation on my part, but possible. So the Arduino, like the first device, I think Arduino is always good to go.
Right.
Raspberry Pi is really fun, especially with kids, because, I mean, you just plug in a Raspberry Pi, but I don't like the always having to have a monitor, a keyboard, and a mouse everywhere you go.
Yeah, that's hard.
That's the problem with it.
One of the things that I like about Raspberry Pi is I install Windows on it.
Yeah.
And it has this, Windows has this really cool emulator that you can connect to it and have like a remote screen into
Yes.
it. So that's super helpful because I found that happened because I bought a little tiny screen and I have it and it's just, feels like it's just a lot of extra stuff.
It's a lot of extra stuff. Yeah, so the Raspberry Pi is a lot of extra stuff. But when you, like the purpose of the Raspberry Pi was never really for us to use it.
What was the purpose? I'm curious.
It's a UK company. It's only 5 years old.
Right.
And they made them specifically to go to countries that really didn't have access to computers. So they made it for a cheap computer. So it was made for basically, smaller populations in Africa and Asia. It was never intended really as a hobby device for us. We just realized a good thing when we saw it.
Yeah, I love the Raspberry Pi.
I know! But that wasn't the reason it was built. So when you think of it in terms of going into like a school to act as the school's computer, it makes a lot more sense. The monitor, you know, keyboard, because they're giving them a computer experience.
So my question for IoT for you, since you work on it, is where do you see IoT going? Why is IoT important? Why should people think about it?
I don't know that it's that important.
Okay.
I mean, I sometimes think that it's a solution in search of a problem, because until we figure out the security end of it, I'm not really sure. I think that that's really important right now. There's been way too many security mishaps with
Absolutely.
IoT. And so I think just delving straight into IoT solutions and thinking everything's can be an IoT solution when we haven't figured out the security end of it is not great. But I mean, obviously there's lots of applications for it, but I think that we really need to back up and figure out
security.
What we're gonna do. We don't really have any protocols.
Interesting.
And we don't. So it's really fun to play with, but I mean, I wouldn't install cameras in my house myself with a bunch of IoT things and think I had control of that, right?
Yeah. They're the only device I know, like I only know Windows 10 because I only write in C#. So the Windows IoT device has this thing called TPM, and that's the only security that I know of.
Right.
TPM. But I imagine that if we're going to be doing IoT stuff, we should really think about security.
Well, and Azure has some stuff. Like I've played with the Azure IoT Hub some. Because that is supposed to be a layer of security on there. Right now, most of the devices that I've used, they are compatible with Azure IoT, but they're not that great yet. Like the Electric Imp, for example, I think it's like a 10-second delay.
I see.
It's something huge, you know, right now, because it's low priority. But obviously that'll change. I mean, all this stuff will get kind of taken care of. But right now, I wouldn't let my kids, you know, build an IoT device with a camera or a microphone on it and have it in the room.
Yeah.
Like, no way.
I'm with you.
Right.
I'm with you. I mean, that sounds that would be absolutely crazy.
It's crazy.
Right now.
Yeah.
So let's move on to your second talk. You were trying to inspire people to get their kids to learn to program.
I'm successfully inspiring people.
I heard people were tearing up and stuff.
Really?
I know.
So so I have been training teachers. There's a group of us, and we've been training teachers on how to teach kids to code. And then I have kind of a great, crazy group of kids. I work as a director of the Boys and Girls Club in San Diego.
Awesome.
I know.
The blessed state of California, the land of my birth.
It is. It's pretty awesome. We miss you.
Yeah, I know. It keeps writing me. Like, when are you coming back? Stop tweeting me, San Diego. This is getting awkward, you know?
Exactly.
I'm with someone else right now.
You can come to the Urban Farm anytime.
That would be kind of cool.
It would actually be really fun.
So you're at the Boys and Girls Club.
Boys and Girls Club.
Are you teaching them how to code there? Or
yeah.
Okay.
So what had happened was I kind of had these two worlds going. I was training teachers for teaching kids programming, and then I was also building an urban farm and cooking and farming curriculum there. I didn't really expect them to intersect, but then there was this extra room we didn't really have a plan for. So I said, well, hey, let's make it a tech room and teach coding. And the first time that I did classes, they all filled up, but it was all boys. And I'm like, we can't do that. So I was sitting around with teenagers and said, what could we do that boys and girls would want to do together? And we created a summer camp called Barbacode, and it was half Greek barbecue cuisine and half computer programming.
Oh my goodness.
So they came to camp for a week and they did both those things.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So for kids nowadays, do you find that they like uptake this stuff faster?
Well, I mean, there's so much more stuff for them to do, right? Like they have so much more experience, because the biggest problem for, like when people say how young can they code, it's not really how young they can code, it's when have they mastered keyboarding.
Oh, I see.
Because if their brain is going way faster than their mouse skills and their keyboard skills, that's just frustrating,
right? Of course.
So if you have, you know, an 8 or 9 year old that's all over the computer and been Minecrafting and has it down, then they probably won't be frustrated.
I saw something and I was supposed to show you now that I'm remembering.
What?
We have a Minecraft Educational Edition
yes!
that you can literally code with like Scratch.
You were supposed to show me.
And the first time I saw it, I was like, holy cow, this is amazing. Because I play Minecraft with my kids and sometimes without my kids. Right? And it was cool to see that you could actually code it. Imagine telling my kid, hey, I want you to build a castle in code.
Yeah.
To them, it's like, oh, well, how would I do that? And they would think like a programmer. And so that's something that's super exciting to me. I'll just show
you. I do want to see it. I want
to
see it.
To do that.
That would be
so
really
cool. What are some of the programs that, other than Barbacode, that you do or that you want to do to get people to learn how to code?
Within Barbacode, we had several students that wanted to keep going. So we ran it for 2 years because they graduated out of it, but we did a teen user group that met monthly.
Oh, nice.
And so that's when we got into IoT and started coding all kinds of devices, and we got into data visualization, and we just kind of threw at them, once they had their basic set of skills, you know how like you have to learn a certain amount to realize, this is what's open to me, right? So once they kind of had their basics, then they saw what was more open to them, and they told us what they wanted to learn and wanted to do.
What were some of the examples of things they wanted to learn?
They noticed things. Mostly they wanted to learn how to solve problems, right? So one of the things they noticed was at night there were no lights in the farm. And in order to get to the farm, you have to go by this huge basketball gym. Uh-huh. Like, it's super dark and there's no lights. It's just not possible.
Sure.
And so they wrote a little app on the phone and hooked an electric amp up to a bunch of lights. And we had a windmill in the farm, and so they strung the windmill, the 23-foot windmill, up with lights. And so they could be in the parking lot and turn on those lights before they walk down the path.
Oh, nice.
Or we could be in Belgium and turn on those lights, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they started to see, once they had a basic understanding, a foundation, they started to be able to solve, like, real problems.
You know how, you know programmers that, like, the code is their goal? Like, when they see beautiful code, they're done. They don't even have to run it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, that's what they think. Most people are not like that,
no.
And most kids. They want to see, what's the code going to do?
Got it.
So they want to see the result.
Of course.
And so that is the trick, is give them great results and give them to them pretty fast.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And as a group. Nobody, you know how in school it's always headphones and a computer?
Yeah,
That's the whole problem. Nobody wants to put headphones in.
I love how that works. So where can people go to find out more about your work or what you do?
TKPlabs.org or TeachingKidProgramming.org. Both of those two, they actually connect with each other. Teaching Kids Programming is open source curriculum that you can start teaching your kids right now.
Okay.
And then TKP Labs is the arm that we do all the training. So we're, like, this summer, we're actually sending a trainer to Palestine.
Oh, how wonderful.
And to Malawi to train teachers in both locations.
That's awesome. Well, thanks so much for spending some time
Absolutely
with Jessica.
Absolutely, thanks, Seth.
We have been speaking with Jessica Ellis all about IoT and also teaching kids to code. And the website, one more time.
TeachingKidsProgramming.org.
TeachingKidsProgramming.org. Thanks for spending some time with us. Thanks so much for watching. We got one more set of interviews that we're going to do. We're going to talk to the founders of Techorama. And then we're going to sign out from Belgium because we have to be on our way. So we will be back right after this tiny break. We'll see you.